Well, hello, hello, friends. Welcome to the Not Your Child Road Safety Show, a show dedicated to road safety, sprinkled with entrepreneurship, with a hospitality cherry on top. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Julia Matthews, aka the Breathalyzer Girl, and owner of Not Your Child Corp, a Canadian company dedicated to, you guessed it, road safety. Check us out when you have a chance at notyourchild.com. Now, as usual, we'll start off our lovely day today with a couple feel-good songs to keep you company behind the wheel. And then we head right into our discussion section, move right back into some more feel-good music, and finally, as all good things come to an end, we close with our quote of the day. So what do you say? Stick around with me for a great show? Well, buckle up your seatbelts and let's dive into the Not Your Child Road Safety Show.
I think I thought I saw you try. And friends, today we have a very, very special guest. Listen, I'm excited about this guest today. Really excited. Really excited for a conversation. Have you heard of TIRF? TIRF, T-I-R-F? Traffic Injury Research Foundation. So you see why I'm excited. Well, today we have the COO of TIRF, Mr. Ward Vanlaar. Yeah, he's on today, and he'll be giving us some serious insights, folks, into our industry and talk about the purpose of TIRF. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. It will be a great conversation. And you know my rule. Don't you touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Take my breath away.
And friends, today we have a very special guest with us from the Traffic Injury Research Foundation, Mr. Ward Valnar, the COO of the Traffic Injury Research Foundation. Did you get that? Yeah, TURF. So you can see why we had to have them on. He is here joining us today. And just for your information, TURF's purpose, again, that's the Traffic Injury Research Foundation, their purpose is to ensure people using our roads make it home safely by eliminating road deaths, serious injuries, and their social costs. Mr. Valnar, thank you so much for joining us today and agreeing to share the wonderful work you do with TURF.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Definitely, definitely. So, Mr. Valnar, tell us, how did you get involved with TURF? How did it start for you?
Well, actually, I was born and raised in Belgium, where I started my career working in road safety. And one of the projects that I was involved with, I was the coordinator of a European project working on alcohol ignition interlocks, which are breathalyzers that are connected to your car, and if you've been drinking too much, then you can't start your car. So, as I was coordinating this project, I was invited to present at a conference in Hilton Head Island, which was organized at the time by the Traffic Injury Research Foundation. And so that's how I got to know TURF and the work that they do. And it was at the time. It was an adventure for me, as well as a big challenge to be able to move to the other side of the world, so to speak, and begin my or continue my career at such a prestigious organization.
Understood, understood. Well, you said you were working with road safety, so road safety was always important to you then. How did this walk with road safety start for you?
I was doing my master's in criminology in Belgium at the time. And one of the opportunities that I had in my last year was to work as a trainee for the Belgian Road Safety Institute. I was just intrigued by the work that they were doing because of obviously the social cost and the trauma that exists when people are being involved in road crashes. And so I was really interested in doing some work there. And then I also had the opportunity to do my master's thesis using a project that the Belgian Road Safety Institute was doing at the time.
Well, it's some really great work because I have lost friends and loved ones to inebriated driving, and we'll talk more about that with the interlocks a bit later. But you know what's funny? I read where TURF, it says TURF takes on 30 projects each year with a focus on studying risky behavior and learning about the characteristics of road users. You know, and I wanted to know how you do that because it struck me because there's so much to learn about people. Every big event we do, Mr. Valnar, every big event we do, not so much the corporate events, but the big fairs and the festivals we do, we're always learning something else about people's behavior just by talking to them, just by speaking with them, you know, non-judgmentally and treating them with dignity and getting them to open up. To actually, and that's how we dispel a lot of myths too. You know, people have to want to talk to you and be honest with you. So it's really good research for us when we attend those big craft festivals or those big fairs, right? Because that's the way, just getting them to talk first, we get to disabuse their minds of certain notions, right? But enough about us. Can you tell us about how you do it? Like, how do you gather your research?
Yeah, certainly. So we actually use a variety of methodologies and techniques, and some of them kind of overlap with what you were talking about or describing there. So all of the work that we do is focused on human behavior on the road. And there's some overlap with engineering and infrastructure and new technologies, but mostly our main focus is human behavior. And so the work that we do is both academic in nature as well as implementation work, where we basically work with practitioners to help them translate the research and help them make sense of it. But so when we're doing the academic work, we use a variety of methodologies. We collect data by interviewing people. We collect data by observing people. We collect data by, like you were mentioning, by just simply listening to people and give them the opportunity to have like a free-flowing discussion of what's on their minds and what their attitudes or what their opinions are about the behavior of other people, about their own behavior, about legislation, and so forth. So we don't really want to kind of like limit ourselves to just one particular approach, because then the data that you're collecting might perhaps be a little bit too narrow. So we kind of combine a variety of different methodologies to get the broadest possible data that we could possibly use. And then, of course, with road safety, unfortunately, there's a lot of statistics about injuries and fatalities, but we use those data as well to kind of better understand what the causes are of certain risky behaviors and certain types of fatalities and injuries and so on.
Have you found that there is a bottleneck when it comes to finding data, like especially some data from, say, morgues, etc.? Have you found that there are certain industries that don't keep or don't provide data that would be very helpful?
That's a really pertinent question. So I think you can say that in the past 10 to 15 years, the field of road safety has really professionalized in the sense that more and more actors around the world, like the World Health Organization, as well as more and more universities, they've all become more and more interested in road safety. So 15 years ago, there were already a lot of organizations like mine, like TURF, working on this, but certainly in the past 15 years, more and more professional organizations have become involved in this. And so, as more organizations became involved, a more transparent and clear ask was we need data, we need good data. And yeah, and so to be able to really conduct a scientific research to make improvements without such good quality data, it's really hard to do that. So we've learned over the years that, like, even in the best performing countries in the world, in terms of road safety, there is still a need for more and for better data. So there's certainly, to really give you a specific answer to your question, there are certainly bottlenecks or hurdles with respect to data that we haven't really fully addressed. Like my organization, TURF in Canada, collects information from coroners and medical examiners. And this is really important data that helps us to understand, what are the causes of certain crashes, certain fatalities. But, it's just the nature of this type of data that there's always going to be a bit of a delay before you can get those data, right? Because obviously the coroners, they have to do a thorough examination of each crash before they can close a file. So even though those data that we have are of very high good quality, a bit of a downside of it is that there's a lag
A
before
lag.
before you get those data. So even when all of the necessary precautions are in place to get the good quality data, with just one type of data, you may still not get the full picture, or you may not get it on time. So, so that's why even in leading countries in the world, there's always more and better that you can do with respect to data.
Exactly right.
And friends, it's time for a little break. We'll be right back.
Ooh.
Now, examples of your work, I was reading, it includes driver education, graduated driver licensing programs for young and for novice drivers, training programs for commercial drivers and motorcyclists, remedial programs, and alcohol interlocks for impaired drivers. Got my antennas up. And technologies such as photo enforcement, again, ignition interlocks and driving simulators and online training. So that's fantastic that you're able to, that you guys are able to do all of that. With the interlocks, we actually had a program too, or my company, called Voluntary Interlocks, right? And the idea of it was basically saying, we're targeting, young adults and targeting their parents and basically saying, give them the freedom that they crave with the protection that they deserve. Because we asked different groups of people, like young 19-year-olds that want, they still live at home, but they want to go out, to a like a camping event, and then some of their friends might be 20, 21, some of their friends might be, 18, and probably alcohol will be there. And pardon me, are you still there? Right. And we actually got some interest in the voluntary interlock, and people were saying that's a great idea. And parents were actually saying, you know what, I would actually feel better allowing my daughter to go and to drive or to go with these people to this camping site, knowing that the car that they're using would have an interlock in it. So I think, and what I've found too, I don't want to talk too much about us, but but it's just an interesting conversation, because what I've found too is the way breathalyzers were introduced to society did a total injustice to them. Because they were introduced to society as kind of like a punishment, like it's a shame, like, and this is from talking to different people, right, all age groups, and it's like, oh, okay, you broke the law, you can't control yourself, you have to have an interlock, like a punishment. But really and truly, it's a tool, and it's a really great tool. And right now too, even in France, this happened I think a couple of years ago, you can get ticketed if you don't have a breathalyzer in your car. It doesn't have to be an interlock, but even a personal one, right? So so it's changing the narrative and changing the way people see breathalyzers and interlocks. That's been my job. And a lot of people come on board and they say, you know what, Julia, it makes sense, because it's just a proactive tool to teach you, where you are, and to teach you to let you know yourself, and actually you can actually learn yourself and say, okay, today I had one drink 3 hours ago, I didn't sleep that well, I didn't eat that well, my BRAC is higher than me having that same drink last week, right, 3 hours ago, when I was fully rested and when I ate. So little things like that, it allows people to actually keep an eye and monitor on themselves. And that's really what my wish is for society, because we can't just depend on servers, because servers are busy. That is the serving industry, right? I worked as a server for a long time, and a lot of times you can't tell if someone was drinking before, or how much they were drinking before they come into your establishment, right? Especially on certain days like St. Patty's Days, etc. So it's good to put the onus in the actual. That's what I always say, your BRAC, your responsibility, right? So even though it is a part of the establishment's responsibility, of course, but it's everybody's responsibility. So that is my dream, and that is what I'm actually working for. But I'm just sorry, I went off on a tangent there because of the voluntary interlock. Can you tell me a bit more about your remedial programs?
Yeah, sure, but I did want to kind of respond to what you were saying about
Okay, yes, sure. Sorry.
you said about the interlocks like kind of a disservice to our society. And I think what you were finding talking to your constituents or your the people that you've been working with, we have found the same, where the fact that there's so much shame attached to an interlock, and that
Yes.
basically being the narrative is it is punishment, that
Yes.
is has created a hurdle not only for just regular people who haven't been caught for drinking and driving, but it's also creating a hurdle for offenders, for those people who have been convicted of drinking and driving,
Yes.
to actually to basically install the interlock when they're being mandated to. So I think changing the narrative from,
Yes.
this is just merely a tool to punish you, to
Right.
something else where, like, yeah, no, it's not necessarily about punishment. It's just about being, like you said, for the general population, being proactive. Like in many European countries, alcohol admission interlocks are actually used more often as a
Yes.
proactive tool by commercial fleets
Yes.
than as a punishment for offenders. So
Yes.
changing that narrative to basically make it more accessible for more people, especially like young drivers
Yes.
and parents who want to protect their children, that would be, we also think that that would be very valuable. And
Yes,
then
but mainly yes.
with respect to offenders, there's actually examples of interlock manufacturers changing the design of their interlock device to make it look more like, for example, a cell phone, so
Yes.
that those offenders who are mandated to use them don't necessarily have to feel the shame that's attached to this whole problem of drinking and driving. Because, yes, they should be punished. They've done something wrong, and of course that needs to be addressed. But at the same time, the reality is that if you don't if you just take their license away and you don't give them an interlock, they will continue driving anyway. The majority of them do. So it's better to let them drive, but in a way that you can control it by using an ignition interlock. And if we've established that and if we agree on that, then it's really important to take away as many hurdles as we can
Yes.
to make them use the interlock. So I just wanted to kind of comment on that because you
Well,
touched on.
I'm glad you like that idea. I'm very happy you like the idea because it got some traction. I had some parents that were interested and some that got some as a voluntary interlock for their young drivers, right? So it got some traction. And two, just a little bit off the tangent too, but even with the breathalyzers, every time when I'm at a fair and I'm, explaining the breathalyzers, how to use it, etc. The what really hits them is when I tell them, I know you want to do the right thing, because a lot of you think that enough time has passed, or you think you slept it off, and that's why a lot of you lose your licenses in the morning. So why not test yourself first before? Regardless of how you feel, just test yourself first. It's just a tool. Test yourself, and then you can be sure that, okay, I'm okay to drive, right? Because not because you slept for 3 hours, a lot of that, and that's a big misconception that I keep hearing all the time from young to old. Not because they think that because they slept it off or they had a couple hours of sleep. It depends on how much you drank, right? So there's that too. So it's a big hurdle, but I've been getting through. And I've been chipping away at it. And the pleasure for me is when I drive on the road and I'm thinking, I don't know who I could have saved. I could have probably saved myself. You know what I mean? It could have been somebody who I avoided the next day from driving inebriated that would have potentially hit me or hit somebody. You know what I mean? That, right?
Yeah, and the data that we collect continues to show year over year that people don't really understand well how alcohol works and how it metabolizes in the body.
Yes.
With a lot of data from, again, for example, offenders
Yes.
who are on the interlock, we know that most of the fails when they're trying to start their car and they can't because the interlock is preventing them from doing that. Most
Yes.
of these fails happen early in the early morning hours because, as you have experienced with the people that you've talked to,
Yes.
they simply do not understand. They think that they're doing the right thing. They they didn't drive home and they went to bed and thought they slept it off, but they don't realize that the next morning
Exactly.
their alcohol level is still quite high in their blood because not enough time has gone by.
Yes. It's so good talk. It's really good speaking with you, Mr. Barnard. It's really good because you get it. And yeah, definitely.
We're on the same page.
You're on the same page. And you know what else too? When you talk about behavior, the reason why I just kept reading the website like voraciously, because I'll tell you another thing that I found in my research. I call it research, but it's not really research. It's just talking to people. But I kind of do write down certain things when they come up. Eureka.
And friends, next week we will conclude our conversation with Mr. Ward Vanlar, the COO of TURF. Remember, TURF stands for the Traffic Injury Research Foundation. And wasn't that a great conversation today? We will be sure to continue it next week. See you then.
Stuck on you. Got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needing a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. Stuck on you. Been a fool too long. I guess it's time for me to come on home. Guess I'm on my way. So hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. Soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needed a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. I'm mighty glad you stayed.
And yes, we have a request for our island song of the day. I'm telling you, people really like this segment and they're writing in. Here is a hit across the waters, a request from our friend Desroy in Toronto, a huge song in England, a huge song in the islands, a big song in North America by Egyptian. Here is Hold You.
Yeah, and then, girl, me want for you all, yo. Put me arms right around, yo. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Girl, me want fi just squeeze ya, put me things all around ya. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Me hide them gems, me no care. You take it anytime, anywhere. In a square, so me no fear. Long as a woman, I will be there. Me want a girl, me can't wine for me. Me want a girl, me can't take care of me. Make me feel it, let me reveal it. Oh, me have to really squeeze it. Girl, me want to roll, yo. Put me arms right around, yo. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Girl, me just want to squeeze, yo. Put me things all around, yo. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Hold on, like a fast bike on the road, brum, 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 brum. Girl, on the back and she a boom, 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 boom. Give me the maga one of the fat kum, kum, kum. When I play last one time, it come to kum, kum. Me out of control, I'm more fire, she want in her soul. She say more by more and still she grown. And still me multiply more, girl, me want fi just hold, yeah. Put me arms right around, yeah. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Girl, me want fi just squeeze ya, put me arms right around ya. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Squeeze ya, around ya, tightest hold me ever get in my life. Sweet little daddle dad, yeah, tightest hold me ever get in my life. Me hide them dry and me no care. Me take it anytime, anywhere. In a square, so me no fear. Long as a woman, I will be there. Me want a girl who take care of me. Me want a girl who can wine for me. Let me feel it, let me reveal it. Show me that you can turn. Girl, me want for you all, yo. Put me arms right around, yo. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Girl, me just want to squeeze, yeah. Put me things all around, yeah. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Squeeze, yeah. Around, yeah. Tightest hold me ever get in my life. Love, yeah. Yeah.
Ramp has done as it come to come. Man's on the path or something.
My name is Michael Pincus. I'm known as the Grape Guy, and I wear many hats. I write the Winery Spotlight blog for Not Your Child. I produce this radio show, but what I mostly do is drink wine and write down my thoughts and reviews on my website, michaelpincuswinereview.com. I think what Julia and Not Your Child is doing is amazing, and what her company provides is so worthwhile. It's not about not drinking. It's about watching what you drink and being accountable. And check out my website at michaelpincuswinereview.com to see what you should be drinking. Cheers.
Come and get your love, come and get your love, come and get your love now. Come and get your love, come and get your love, come and get your love.
Yeah.
How I gonna get
your baby, ready for your loving. Don't make me wait, cause I really need to get it.
Come and get your love.
Come and get your love now.
Come and get your love.
If you're hosting a do-it-yourself wedding, why not add our safe alcohol service system to your guest list? Show your guests how much you care by getting them home safely. Email events@notyourchild.com for more details.
everything feels like the movies. Yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know.
You know, we like to wind it all down for you with the quote of the day. And today's quote comes to us from Thomas Paine. And he says, "The mind, once enlightened, cannot again become dark."
Well, thanks for joining us today, friends, on the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, head to notyourchild.com/radio show to submit any questions, comments, or shout outs you want us to address on the next show. Until then, friends, I hope you continue having a lovely day. And remember our golden rule: when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober. Ciao.